Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In August, Ghislaine Maxwell, the convicted associate of sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, was moved from a Florida prison to a minimum security facility in Texas. Many, including the family of the late Virginia Giuffre, have expressed dismay at what they see as the preferential treatment that Maxwell is getting, despite being sentenced to 20 years for sex trafficking. So, how might this have come about, and what is life like inside the facility in Bryan in Texas, where Maxwell is now being held? Sam Angle is a federal prison consultant, and he's on the line to tell us more. Sam, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very well. It might be worth informing our listeners, I think, how you became a prison consultant, how you got your expertise.
Sure. So in 2018, I was sentenced to a 5-year term in federal prison for wire fraud. First time I was ever in trouble. I wound up serving about 21 months of that. I got out in 2020 and realized that there was a tremendous gap between what lawyers and solicitors can help their clients with and what happens after sentencing is over. A lawyer, you know, goes to school to learn how to protect their clients, but it really only goes up through sentencing. And at that point, there's a big black hole. And many, if not most, defendants have no idea what happens next. So I entered the space, and now my practice is really primarily working with white-collar offenders, very, very high-profile people, both in the United States and international.
So the idea being that, okay, you're not dealing with the guy who's, mass-murdered a family in Connecticut. You're dealing with people who probably never expected in their wildest dreams to end up behind bars.
I only deal with white collar, typically financial matters. I don't deal with charges of violence, any sex offenses, pornography, drug offenses, strictly white collar financial matters. That's my defendant. That's my client.
Now, tell me about this security facility in which Ghislaine Maxwell is now held. First of all, the controversy over her move, because she has been found guilty of very, very serious crimes. So this move was highly unusual.
Sure. So originally she was sentenced to 20 years, and she was serving it at Tallahassee FCI, Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee, Florida. That is a low security facility, but it is what they term behind the wall. There are cells, there are controlled movements. She is there with, other violent individuals, female gang members. So it is a much more restrictive facility. Subsequently, she was moved to federal prison camp, Bryan, Texas. That's a minimum security facility that houses and can only house, per the terms of the Bureau of Prisons, nonviolent offenders that were not charged with any sex offenses, violent crimes. You can't be a gang member. You cannot have what's called a public safety factor as part of your sentence. You can't have a sentence of longer than 10 years remaining. So where she is now is a community custody. If she wanted to leave the facility, she can. There are no guard towers, there are no walls, there are no cells. Literally, Bryan is in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
So what is her regime every day?
So I have two other clients there, and I've spoken to their families because they are afraid to speak on the monitored email or phone system due to a warning that was given to them by prison staff when Ms. Maxwell got there. But her regime is like pretty much everybody else's. She has to get up at 6 in the morning, but that's usually where it stops. She does not have a job, although everyone in a camp is required to have a job. She is not doing any type of programming. So in a prison camp, a female prison camp like Brian, they have puppy training where you can actually work with a puppy and have a puppy live with you to train it. She does not, there's a nursing program, an associate nursing program off premises. She's not permitted to do that. They don't want her as part of that. So it's my understanding that the facility is really treating her like a, again, and I've used the term before, a guest. She is not required to do what the other 649 inmates there are required to do.
Now, what's her food like, and you know, her privacy? Does she have a bathroom, or is she, you know, using the communal showers? What way does that work?
So she lives in a pod. In the pod, there's like a dormitory style housing. There's probably 75 women that are separated by 4 foot high cinder block walls. In each little pod area, there's a bunk bed, 2 foot lockers, and a desk. The showers and bathrooms are private. It's not like you would see on television or in the television show Orange is the New Black, where all the women shower together. No, there is privacy. Now, she has a much greater level of privacy. The prison staff lets her shower after everyone at night, and actually lets her take her meals in the unit. They bring her her meals in the unit. So what is happening with her is a complete anomaly compared to everyone else.
Now, you could argue that she's such a notorious character that she might be in some danger, but these are not normally violent criminals who are housed with her. So the idea of someone taking a shiv at her in the shower is really not a danger that she might face.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
In this facility?
No, to be in a federal prison camp, you cannot have any past history of violence. You can't have a charge of violence. You can't be a gang member. Now, what's interesting is you can't be a sex offender. You can't have a sentence remaining of longer than 10 years. So the fact that two of the public safety factors that are placed on her have been waived is what's so curious. But putting that aside, no, the population of prison camp, they're on their way out. They're on their way home. They've made it this far. There is no violence typically in a prison camp.
Now, the reasons for this obviously are very murky. We know that the Epstein files have not been released. And in fact, the GOP, Mike Johnson, is determined not even to seat one of the elected members of Congress to avoid a vote that would allow those Epstein files to be released. So the whole thing is murky, and it all seems to be designed to protect in some way President Donald Trump from what might be released, and pampering Ghislaine Maxwell, because that's what this is obviously to designed to buy her silence or cooperation in some way.
So I understand the reason and rationale behind her transfer from Tallahassee. Once someone starts cooperating with the government and you're at a higher level security, a low security facility like Tallahassee, her safety is at danger. That's where the notion of the shiv and the shower comes in. Violence does happen at low security facilities. There are gang members. There are violent individuals that are housed there. So a transfer would have been in order. The fact that she was transferred to a minimum security camp, which is unheard of in the United States, Bureau of Prisons, with the two public safety factors, the sex offense and length remaining on her sentence, clearly shows that there was, you know, some quid pro quo. Now, I'm not getting political. It's not my place to comment on that. But it could not have been done unless the very highest reaches of the DOJ and the BOP acquiesced to that transfer.
Now, does she get visitors? And if so, what happens when visitors, be they friends, family, or high-powered officials, arrive?
So two things. First of all, they do not have her in the standard visitor room. You can imagine if you're a visitor, you're a woman, and you have, or you bring your children into a visit and you see her, the sentiment around visiting with her, being around her, where, you know, you might be the victim of sex offense, or, you know, you have a daughter who's the same age as the daughter, as the girls that, that Ms. Maxwell, was convicted of trafficking. So she is absolutely segregated. She's also had, on at least one occasion, a very high profile set of visitors. They locked the camp down a few weeks ago, which is, again, unheard of to lock the camp down in full. Not even food services were permitted to go out. And she was taken to the chapel for a visit. There is speculation as to who might have been there. I don't know. And the way they did it, the other inmates were not able to see who came to visit her.
Now, the question of fear, I mean, if people were to talk about this, and, you know, people do have visitors and they do observe what's going on, and if they describe this and someone went public with it, are there fears of recrimination either at the hands of the prison guards such as they are, or even some more senior kind of retribution?
So it's actually happened. The fear is justified. Early on, maybe a week into the transfer, there was another young lady who was there. And before she came, there was what's called a town hall. So the warden called all the inmates into a group meeting and warned them, do not talk about her. Do not mention her. Be very careful about this new inmate coming in. And another young lady spoke to somebody in the press about her and her feelings and her disgust and disdain for having her come. This other inmate was a victim of sexual abuse when she was younger and talked about it on a monitored phone line. Within about 24 hours, she was moved to the Houston Detention Center, which is a maximum security facility, to serve out the rest of her sentence. So to say that the other inmates, as well as the staff, are treading on ice would be an understatement.
Now, for Glenn Maxwell, it seems the biggest hazard in the place is probably boredom. What can she do? Does she have television available to her? You know, can she involve herself in sport or other activities?
So there's television, you know, from 6 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. You're allowed outside from 6 to 9. She can certainly, you know, be on the running track. There's yoga, there's Pilates, there's pickleball. There's all sorts of things that she can do if other inmates want to invite her, in, you know, into those activities. It's my understanding they don't. Every other inmate is shying away from her. So most of her time is spent in a very solitary environment where she might walk the running track by herself. She does a lot of reading, I'm told, by herself. But she there's very little, if any, other association with inmates because of the fear of the other inmates to get in trouble and or run awry of the staff there regarding her.
A question I forgot to ask you, is this a mixed prison or is it strictly female?
Oh, so all the prisons in the United States are segregated by sex. So it is now, well, let me, with one caveat, it is absolutely a female prison camp. However, there are transgender inmates that are there. So there are men who have transitioned to women and they are there.
Okay. And then you mentioned it's an open prison in the sense that she could go if she wanted to. Although she's so notorious, she'd probably be apprehended fairly quickly. What do locals think of her being in this open prison, right among them, really?
Well, I don't think that, other than the first week when the television cameras are there, I don't think locals are really paying attention. There was within the first week, there were some gunshots that were outside of the facility, and that did raise the alert level, although it came to be nothing, it had nothing to do with the actual prison itself. I don't think locals are they have more important things to worry about than who's at that facility. I always tell people going to camp, you can leave if you want. Then you become a fugitive and you go to a much worse facility. So the fear of that keeps everyone put in a prison camp.
Sam Mangel, a federal prison consultant. Sam, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.